Welcome to fourthstream.com.
It's good to be here.
It is. We're looking at Psalm 63 today, where the first statement out of David's
mouth.
Come
on now. It's one of my favorites. I've got to say something before you start. I've got to just say, I love this song.
Yes, you do. But you say that about a lot of them.
That's true.
I know, but you really love this one. Psalm 63, and the first statement out of David's mouth is, God, you're my God. And it's really the bedrock, it seems like, of the entire set of verses to follow. And this is at a time when he's king and he's being pursued and being hunted. So it can't be Saul, because that he was being hunted by Saul before he was the king.
Yep.
So this means it has to be Absalom, which is, that's a whole different context, a whole different set of circumstances.
So he's basically on the run from family.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So when he makes that statement, oh God, you are my God, there's a lot of emotion in it, which really sets the tone for the psalm.
Yeah, it's really always important to know the context, you know, of the verses we're reading. The context of this is that he's being pursued to be killed.
But yeah.
In this psalm,
hotly pursued.
As I said, he's the king, so obviously not being pursued by Saul. Instead, and I really find this whole story interesting and multi-layered. It'd be really great for a movie.
Yeah.
His oldest son, Absalom.
You could call it Watch Out for Absalom.
Yeah. Well, Absalom murders his brother and then surreptitiously garners a lot of support. Again, there's just multi-layered, you know,
he betrays his father.
He betrays his father, causes other people to betray his father. And so he's riding in to take over. It's a coup. And David gets wind of it and he's escaping.
Yes. And so he's basically throwing his father under the bus. Mm-hmm. And you don't get the sense that he really cared about what happened to his father.
Not at all. Not at all. And while he's running away, he also has people that are sort of bashing him as he's doing it. So he has real faithful followers. He's had people that are who have completely betrayed him. Yes, I'm sorry. And then he also has people along the way who are ribbing him and mocking him. Yes.
Yeah, they're taunting him. And and that's how it goes. You know, when you're in power and then when your power is diminished, you kind of find out
who enjoyed your power and who enjoyed you.
Yeah. And around kingdoms and stuff like that, there are a lot of barnacles.
Yeah. Okay, so the first verse of Psalm 63, God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across dry and weary deserts.
Now, can I say my translation?
Yeah.
Because that's good. Oh God, you are my God. I will seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Mm-hmm. I just love it that he obviously knows that when he's completely empty, spiritually, emotionally, that God will give him the strength that he needs. He will give him food and water. And he's physically exhausted. He has to be emotionally exhausted. If you read the story in Kings, it is an incredible story.
Yeah, he's literally in the wilderness on the run. And so that kind of exhaustion, you've got the emotional part of it, because here he has his son kicking him out of his own kingdom. And then you have the rigors. And he's not as young as he was when he experienced some of his things with Saul. He's always, he could jump out of the way when Saul would throw a spear.
Because Saul was older.
Yeah.
Okay, verses 2-4 then. So here I am in the place of worship. My eyes are open. I'm drinking in your strength and glory. And in your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains, and I bless you every time I take a breath. And my arms wave like banners of praise to you.
Okay, so I like that better than my version. I'm not even going to read my version, because I think you're... The word pictures that are there are just excellent.
Mm-hmm. And I enjoy this definition of worship. He's worshiping God purely for who he is, not for how his life looks.
Yes.
And I love that. He is in the midst of, you know, a good friend has betrayed him. Absalom has, first he didn't see Absalom's face for a long time, and then Absalom does this. I'm trying not to give too much of the story away, and yet enough to whet your appetite. But here he is, just believing God in the midst of all this emotional upheaval.
The bigger picture here on David, because there was a united kingdom, and there were three kings of the United Kingdom: Saul, David and Solomon. And Saul had no heart. Everything was about exterior things. Mm-hmm. David had a whole heart, and then his son Solomon will prove to have half of a heart. And mm-hmm. and so what you're describing right there when you were talking about that is how David, no matter what the circumstances, and even when he screwed up and when life didn't go the way he hoped it would go, he still sought after God. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story.
It is. Verses 5 through 8 of Psalm 63, and you may like yours better, but I'm going to read mine. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy, and I smack my lips.
That's better than marrow and fatness.
That's what I thought. Like, who reads that and goes, what is marrow and fatness?
And why would you eat it?
Yes. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection because you've always stood up for me. I am free to run and play, and I hold on to you for dear life, and you hold me as steady as a post.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good representation, but I'm going to have to interject.
Yep.
When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And the right hand is a right hand of favor. Mm-hmm. So both translations give a good picture.
It does.
Of the connection that David feels.
And maybe I'm repeating myself here, but he's in hiding. He's in the wilderness, but he is as satisfied as if he had just had a gourmet meal in his palace. And he's seen so much good from God's hand that he seems to refuse to let persecution change his view of God, and his soul clings and God's hand upholds him. He believes that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, this is in the context of the story, David really kind of wimped out when it came to Absalom, and he should have dealt with him more directly and more specifically, but somehow David's heart is tied to this young man in a way that really not only made David vulnerable, but also made the kingdom vulnerable. Mm-hmm. In fact, it drew the ire of some of David's men.
It's a huge story for us as in parenting, and just for us in being wise. When you read the story, and if you look at it from the spiritual battle, if you look at it from a parental battle, there's just a lot in there. There are several chapters, and it's just really interesting.
So these last couple of verses, as we look at these, you have to think in terms of he knows who's pursuing him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who's been taunting him. So you know that this goes all the way back to Absalom himself, who he's trying to cut all this slack almost to a ridiculous point. But
it is ridiculous.
But now he's connecting with God, and this is what his hope
is. And this is amazing. Those who are out to get me are marked for doom, marked for death, and bound for hell. They'll die violent deaths. Jackals will tear them limb from limb. But the king is glad in God. His true friends spread the joy, while small-minded gossips are gagged for good.
And I can't top that, because
I know
that is so much the sentiment of what is happening in this passage.
But I think what's interesting, even as this passage is written, yet after Absalom dies, much later than this, after he dies, he weeps so loudly for his lost son that his general finally comes in and says, knock it off. Your troops have just won this for you.
He would have slapped him silly if he could do that to a king.
I mean, yes.
But he did verbally. He
yes.
did. He said, hey, you keep this up,
your troops are going to leave you.
Yeah, because he was showing weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a variety of reasons. So when you read the story, you'll kind of figure that out as it unfolds. Psalm 63, it's really an experiential psalm, mm-hmm. like a lot of them that we've been looking at over just the last several podcasts. The psalms are meant to be experienced personally. And so what you've done today, Bernadette, is you have painted the context picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the context, then the psalm, that particular psalm,
comes alive.
It really does. Hey, thanks for joining us. Let's do this again sometime.